NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Strayer. It is Tuesday, March 5. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Chateau Armour Lawn Studios, letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just while repping Strayer a little bit and wrapping every single day of this NBA season. Yep, it's just what we do. So, big NBA day today. The Lakers and the Clippers had a Staples Zubac showdown. That was pretty great. The Bucks lost twice for the first time in a row this season. Some other good stuff. So, we're going to cover all that with the usual dumbassery. If that's not enough, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. There's yeah, nah, there's unpopular opinion of the day, there's Outback Takehouse. We were serving up a flame grill take. We add to our sweaty, hairy guy of the week collection. And we'll also look at the odds and picks and do some previews and everything for all the games tomorrow, which is, there's a couple of pearlers actually, so that'll be good. And we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles swings by the show to take a question from one of his fellow NBA players. Talking about their work situation. Should be good. I mean, I'm hoping it is. Let's see how we go. I'm less hungover today, so that's good. All right, let's do it. NBA Strayer episode 238. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. We better watch out for the attack of the returning Croatian Australian Wilt Chamberlain as Andrew Bogut is heading back to the NBA from all reports having him linked to the Golden State Warriors where he won the 2015 NBA title. Pretty good times. Pretty good times. Better watch out for that. He's going to be swatting shots, slamming SJWs on Twitter as well. One can only assume. Anyway, Bogey back. It was reported this morning. Chris Haynes from, Yahoo? He was like, yeah, cool. It's basically all full steam ahead. Bogut to the Warriors of the Shams and assorted other outlets had sort of linked him to Golden State, Philly, a couple of other contenders. And then it was kind of vaguely confirmed by Steve Kerr this afternoon as well, where he's like, oh, yeah, look, nothing's in stone yet, but we've been talking to Andrew. We sent a guy out there to have a look. Looks like I have a chat. Everything's going fine. Should all be sorted. It all depends on his work visa. This is the old thing. I mean, you know, if you live in the States, you go through it. So, apparently you need authorization to live and work here. So that's what Bogut's going through at the moment. And the old fast track, it's still going to be 7 to 10 working days. Wonder if he has to have the Australia Express post bag that he takes in as well with him. Nice one. Anyway, other news, because we are starting today's show the way we start every show here. It's the daily whip around. Dwayne Wade passed Michael Jordan for most blocks by a guard ever, including playoffs, which is pretty wild considering he's only 6'4". MJ was 6'6". Defensive menace throughout his entire career. Good on him. He is still trailing him in all-time regular season. But if he plays out the rest of this season, which is obviously the plan, hopefully he'll get there. Nice one. What else? Vince Carter passed Reggie Miller today for 20th on the all-time scoring list. I think Vince hit his third three today to basically tee it up. And weirdly enough, Reggie and Vince played 22 times in their career, and each of them won 11 times. Pretty weird. But there you go, Vince, up to 20th on the all-time scoring list, which is pretty wild considering he's been playing for 87 years. And finally, Kevin Arnovitz had a great piece on just the absolute shit show that is the Phoenix Suns. And old mate Bobby Sava, the owner there, and apparently in a weird hazing of Ryan McDonough, their old GM. Apparently, according to the article, Robert Sava acquired some live goats and planted them upstairs in McDonough's office. The stunt was a joke and a message. The Suns should find a goat of their own, the greatest of all time. The goats, not knowing that they were a metaphorical sort of lesson to be learned, shit all over McDonough's office. Yes. Kind of feels like that's a bit of an allegory for the entirety of like Robert Sarver's tenure as Suns owner, doesn't it? What a shit show. Some injury news. The Lakers were throughout. Well, they went without Brandon Spindles Ingram today with his sore shoulder. He woke up, he's like, oh, my shoulder's a bit fucked, which is pretty wild. He's been averaging last six games, 27.8 points, pretty good. And then they lost Kuzma to a pretty, I don't know, looked pretty innocuous, but it obviously fucking hurt. Rolled ankle in the fourth quarter against the Clippers today. The Warriors also said that they basically had a MRI on Kevin Looney's pelvic injury, and it's just a strain. He's going to be day-to-day, and he's basically going to come back at some point, depending on his rehab, which makes you really think as to why they signed Bogey. They've got fucking no bodies left. Klay Thompson also had an MRI on his left knee, and apparently that was clean. So Warriors and Lakers, a couple of interesting injury little bits and bobs there. All right, so let's wrap today's games. We had seven games. We had an absolute fucking shit show in Brooklyn today as the Nets absolutely shit-pumped the Mavericks. 127-88. They had their largest lead of the season. They win by the biggest margin of the year, 39 points for Brooklyn. Well, the franchise's largest margin. Absolutely fucking wild. Just a huge, absolutely bloody huge margin. I mean, that is just gross, isn't it? 39 points. The Mavs, I mean, look, Dwight Powell, he had 26 and 6. That's 20.6 rebounds and 6 assists. Not 26 and 6, eh? Luka Doncic had 16 points on 16 shots, hit a massive three at the half, banked it in from half court. That was wild. And Tim Hardaway, the lesser. As everyone's like, oh, he's going to be really good on like a pretty good team. He's a natural scorer. He's a pretty good shooter. I think he'd be pretty good on the Mavs. 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting. Yeah, there's a reason why I call him Hardaway the lesser. For the Nets, balanced scoring attack. Damari Carroll had, basically leading 22 points. D'Angelo Russell had 13 points, 11 assists. His 8th double-double of the year, which equaled the amount of double-doubles he's had in his career to date. But the good thing is, you know, the Lakers kept Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and traded D'Angelo. So, just saying. Karis, my sweet baby, Carrots LeVert came off the bench for 18 points, 5-11 shooting. And Rodion's Kuroks, the Nets rookie, had himself an absolute blinder. Talk about him a bit later, but 19 points, smashed it. So Dallas, with that, dropped to 27-36. Brooklyn are up to 33-33. And look, not exactly sitting pretty in terms of like the playoff seeding, but at least they got that win. Which, look, a little bit up in the air, the old, you never know what Dallas you're going to get. You know, you get the old sort of shit show Dallas. They've lost their last two games combined by 69 points. Nice. But at the same time, like they're always a little bit dangerous. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So yeah, Brooklyn back up to 500 with that one. What else? We had Atlanta visiting Miami. And this was an absolute rip schnozer of a game. Very, very fun. Very, very close in the end. 114. Miami went at 113 over Atlanta. Atlanta definitely looked like a team on a back-to-back there for a while. And it was also, I think, their third game in four nights or something wild. But they pulled it together in the fourth quarter, had a wild sort of 9-1 run late in the fourth to get back in it, and a wild finish. Like, basically, they were down one, because that's what happened, right? 114, 113, Atlanta scored. There's like 9 seconds left, and Miami managed to play fucking keep away for 9 seconds, and Atlanta didn't foul. So the game was over, and that is it. Atlanta lose. It was one of the more embarrassing things you'll ever see. It's like, just fuck, how do you just not match up man on man and like get after them? Fucking hell, you idiots. Anyway, for the Hawks, Vince Carter, he had, 7 of 11 from 3 for his 21 points. Absolutely wild. The 18 points for Baze Gaze, good on him. Dwayne Deadman, he's a dead man. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and 3 steals. Kevin Huerta, he got the D-Wade jersey switch at the end, not Trae Young, which is pretty great. Huerta had 13 points, and apparently it's because D-Wade knew that he's been a massive fan of his forever. He wears number 3 because of him, wore his shoes and stuff. That's a nice little gesture from D-Wade, because everyone expected Trae Young to get it, or at least Vince Carter, who knows. But Trae Young had a bit of a shit one, 13 points, 4 of 11 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3, 8 assists on 8 turnovers. Ugh, brutal. Yeah, that'll do it. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Miami, D-Wade, fourth quarter takeover a little bit. He had 14 points in that fourth quarter, 23 points he ends up on, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 19-5-5 for Josh Richo Richardson, 18-5-3 with 3 steals for Justice Winslow. Pretty great. And their Wingen Hassan coming off the bench was pretty shit, but bam, Adebayo starting, 9.6 rebounds, 3 assists. Good on you, Miami. Atlanta now dropped to 22-43, and Miami move up to 29-34, which, look, keeps them within spitting distance of the 8th seed. And you kind of want to see D-Wade, you know, in his last season actually make the playoffs, right? Anyway, Denver went into San Antonio and lost 104-103. This was an absolutely wild finish. The Nuggets just started dropping 3 bombs in the fourth quarter. There was like 4 straight trips where they hit 3s to get right back in it. And the Spurs somehow eked this out at the end just by pretty much going, right, fuck it. Let's just control the ball, keep it. And the dartsman, Gary Harris, had a shot to win it basically at the buzzer after they finally inbounded the ball, the Nuggets. Took them 2 chances. But anyway, they finally get in. The dartsman, Gary Harris, had an okay-ish look. It was pretty fucking tough. Had a spur draped all over him, missed it, and game over. Spurs win. For the Nugs, Jammin' Jamal Murray ends up with 25 points and 8 assists. Ended up 6 of 10 from 3. Nikola Jokic, hello! 22 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Pretty bloody good. Malik Beasley as well had 15. And yeah, look, we're going to talk about Isaiah Thomas in a minute, but not great. For the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. DeRozan there had 24 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. Rudy Gay tried his hardest to lose this game by missing 2 free throws late. He still had 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. And that was about it. The Spurs, Nugs. It was like, you know, 3 headline dudes and then a lot of little contributions underneath. It was good to see Paul Thrillsap at least. You know, he had a bit of a shit game, but he hit a big 3 late. And but yeah, not quite enough. Denver, they dropped to 42-21. The San Antonio Spurs, 36-29. Nice one, brother. The Milwaukee Bucks, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land, went to Arizona. That is not Algonquin for the good land because they lost to Phoenix 114-105, which is absolutely fucking wild because that means the Phoenix Suns sweep the season series against the Bucks. That's right. The worst team in the NBA going into today beat the best team in the NBA going into today. And that means Milwaukee have lost consecutive games for the first time this year. That is fucking nuts, man. The Bucks, well, they shot 37%, so you get that on the big jobs, and that's how you lose a game to the fucking Suns. Jesus. Giannis Antetokounmpo still had 21-13-6 with 3 steals. Eric Bledsoe did not have much of a revenge game. He went 5-15. Ugh. El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, hit a big 3 late. Wasn't quite enough though, bro. He was pretty good, I feel like, and they've kind of missed a little bit of his, what do you want to say, chutzpah? Steadiness? Old man game? That also works. Anyway, he had 19 points, went 7 of 12, one of the best shooting examples for the Bucks. Because Nikola Mirotic, hello, look at the thick beard, he's very nice and thick. For Nico, yes, hello. 3 of 14, he goes. Chris O'Middleton, 1 of 13, and Brook Lopez, 3 of 11. Wow. That is a combined 7 for 38. Fucking hell. That'll do it for you. For the Suns, though, that's the best win of the season. Obviously, back-to-back wins for them. They had 10 blocks as a team. Kelly Oubre Jr. Jeez. I feel like Washington could use, like, you know, maybe Washington could max out Kelly Oubre Jr. when he's a restricted free agent next year. What do you reckon? 27 points, 11 in the fourth, a season-high 13 rebounds. Even got one off his own missed free throw. He was fucking wild. 27 points, 13 rebounds. Great game. Devin Booker, he had 22 points and 7 assists. DeAndre Ayton was unreal. We'll talk about him in a second. 19 and 12. Josh Jackson, Pacey, 16 points. And Tyler Johnson, TJ, 13-4-4-4. Oof. 4 steals to take that. So there you go, Milwaukee. They dropped to 48-15. Lost consecutive games for the first time this year, as mentioned. That is fucking nuts. And Phoenix, crazily enough, aren't the worst team in the NBA today. 14-51 they are. The New York Knickerbockers in New York City are now the worst team in the NBA. The New Orleans Pelicans came out of fucking nowhere to beat Utah today. 115-112. This was a wild game too. Pels were down 17, came all the way back to be up six with like fuck all time left. And then like out of nowhere, the Jazz went, oh shit, we're not going to lose to the Pelicans, are we? God damn it. Donovan Mitchell had a three-point play. Then Rudy Gobert, the Stafford Tower, had an Inspector Gadget put back to get them back within one. Rudy Gobert then blocked the shit out of a Julius Randle shot. Donovan runs up the other way, scoop layup. They've got the lead, 43 seconds left. Couldn't keep the ball, though, off a holiday miss. Jingles gets the ensuing rebound, and then it sort of gets knocked away from him by Elfrid Payton. Payton grabs it, scores a quick layup, and that was it. Game over. Donovan Mitchell missed the jumper at the death. Turned it over when they got it back after Randle's free throws as well, and that was it. Game over. Absolutely wild last like 4 minutes of this game. It's fun as hell though. So for the Yaz, it's a soft J. The Rudy Gobert, Stuffle Tower had 17 and 18. Donovan fucking Mitchell went 7 of 21. Kobe! For 16 points, 9 assists and 5 turnovers and 20 each for the former Cavs, Jay Crowder and Kyle Korver. For the Pelicans, they were Pelicans, not Pelicans today. They had 8 turnovers. That's it. Pretty bloody good. Jrue Holiday was 30 points, 12 of 21, 4 of 7 from 3. Julius Randle had 28 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Man, he is a boost. Anthony Davis played 22 minutes. It was pretty handy in that time. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. And Kenrick Williams, he was fun. 7 points out of nowhere to smash it. But there you go. Utah, they are now 36 and 27. New Orleans Pelicans, 30 and 36. And looking just weird. Just really weird. You don't know what's going to happen game to game when it comes to the Pelicans. And, you know, there's 7 games, well, 6.5 games back from the 8th seed. There's no real chance of them doing anything. And, they're basically going to end up with, like, the 11th pick in the draft, the 12th pick. Who fucking knows? What a weird, stupid season. The Knicks lost in Sacramento. Speaking of weird, stupid seasons, the Knicks, 115-108. The Knicks were up early in the first of this one. The Kings then just led the rest of the way. For the Knicks, Alonzo Trier, he had 29 points. God damn, he's good. 8 of 16, he shot. Dennis Smith Jr., he had 18 points and 5 assists on about 87 field goal attempts. I think it was like 16, but still. Kev O'Knox, he had a quiet 11 points and not much else for the Knicks. Just spread out the reddest of the offense across all the other dudes. No, Vonley wasn't too bad. What did he have? 9 and 12. The Kings, Buddy Hield. Buddy Steph Curry Hield was pretty bloody good. 28 points, 7 assists. Harrison Barnes had 22 points and 10 rebounds. We got Harry Barnes and Harry Giles. Sounds like a fucking 1980s English cricket team. 17 and 7 and got kicked out for doing what we all want to do and elbowing Luke Cornet in the head. De'Aaron Fox had 16 points as well. Kings looked very good in this. And Knicks sort of threatened a couple of times late and Sacramento just flexed a little bit and just kicked their ass. So there you go. New York City, Knickerbockers of New York City, 13 and 51, worst in the NBA. And Sacramento back up to 32 and 31 and just hanging around like 3 games back of San Antonio in the 8th spot. And finally, the Clippers and the Lakers played a Staples, Ivica Zubac, Brandon Bass, Matt Barnes bowl. That's right, they shared the Staples Center and they went hammer and tongs today. Clippers win at 113-105. Pat Beverly was a nuisance all game. LeBron played a little bit more defense, but there was still a couple of ones where you're like, Jesus, LeBron, would you fucking wake up, mate? And as mentioned, no Spindles Ingram for the Lakers and they lost Kuzma in the fourth quarter with a twisted ankle. He's hoping he's okay. But the Lakers, man, LeBron, he had 27, 8, and 6. Kuz had 13 before he left. Rondo had a triple-double with 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. That was awesome. Josh Hart had 17 off the bench. Good to see him bounce back after a pretty rough go of it the last little while. But that was it. Fuck all else for the Lakers. Jesus. For the Clips, Danilo Gallinari had 23 and 6. Lou Will had 21. Montrezl Harrell had 14, 11, and 5. And the shy Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, at 14 points and 4 assists. And the man that the Lakers traded to the Clippers like 2 weeks ago, Ivica Zubac, had 7 points and 4 rebounds. Not quite the revenge that you'd like to see, but still. Anyway, Lakers are now 30 and 34 and really going to struggle to make it to the actual playoffs now. We'll talk about them and a couple of other reinforcements possibly in just a second. But the Clippers, they are now 37 and 29 and hanging out pretty nicely in the old playoffs there. In 7th, 37 and 29, just ahead of the Spurs. Nice. All right, let's do it. What was the NBA Australia approved performance of the night?
That's not a night. That That's a knife.
That's a knife, the Phoenix Suns. Holy shit. Man, I get that people like underestimate the Suns going into some of these games, but beating the best team in the NBA when you are categorically one of the fucking worst is pretty great. Kelly Oubre Jr., as mentioned, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Oh, but no, Washington, we really want Trevor Ariza. We really need his veteran presence in our locker room, you fucking morons. But really, the approved performance of the night goes to sort of DeAndre Ayton, because he was guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo pretty much all game. Giannis had 21, 13, and 6, but still, the big Bahamian who let the dogs out was a sweet 19 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks. Shot 61.5% from the field. Mashed his free throws when it counted. He was unbelievable. It's just really good to see him like playing defense and out there on the perimeter chasing Giannis around. He was fucking good, man. So big props to DeAndre Ayton. Loved it. And look, just can't believe that the Suns swept the season series with the Bucks and gave the Bucks their first back-to-back loss of the season. That's fucking wild times. So the Suns, after we get the giant article about how much of a clown car fucking franchise they are, come out and randomly beat the best team in the NBA. Good times. That is an improved performance of the night. And it's definitely for the Phoenix Suns. It's one that's going to go straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
All right, what about old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no
mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it was almost Rudy Gay. He missed 2 free throws at the end of that Nuggets game that would have made it very hard for the Nuggets to win. Instead, missed both and gave them a shot to win it. But no, that's all right. They still won. Donovan fucking Mitchell. Look, couldn't get the game winner to drop. Gave himself a pretty good chance. Didn't go in. So that's feeling a bit old mate, no matesy. But how about we give this to Isaiah Thomas, the little guy, again? Oh, it hurts my heart. But yeah, he was, again, not good for the old Nugs. And it really feels like he's kind of just throwing off like the rest of that bench unit again. Following his game, was it yesterday? Jesus. Isaiah, mate. Look, he took, I think it was 9 shots in 11 minutes and ends up with just, I mean, come on, man. Just absolutely brutal. He's out there going, you know what, fuck it, man. I'm just going to like take a million shots and I don't really give a shit. He goes 3 of 11 for his 7 points, 1 of 5 from 3. Basically backed up the exact same numbers from the day before. And meanwhile, poor fucking Monty Morris, he's like, I'm the best backup point guard in the NBA. And he ends up 1 of 5 from the field, only 1 assist. And it's like he's completely discombobulated. The Nuggets have suddenly just gone, all right, we're trying to incorporate the little guy into our team. And it's really kind of fucking with our rhythm. It's clearly fucking with our, like, chemistry. And he's the guy out there saying, hey, man, doesn't matter what team I am, I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to stand out. Isaiah, come on, dude. But also extra special mention to Anthony Davis. I mean, how much do his teammates just think Anthony Davis is a fucking dick at this point, right? I mean, they just keep winning despite him sort of only playing half the game. He was in for a bee's dick at the in the fourth quarter today just to guard the inbounder on D. And everyone's just like, this fucking guy, really? You don't want to play full? Like, hey, just either play or fucking don't, Anthony. You're killing me. Anyway, so that was pretty funny to see. And just like the rest of his teammates going, we don't care. Fuck off, Anthony. We're going to win without you. Drews. What about Spud of the Night?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Oh, it was going to pain me in my heart again, but it was because it was going to be Dirk Nowitzki, this fucking Dirk Duncan schnitzel, because it looked like he was going to go for a big offer, but finally hit his first shot against Brooklyn today with 3 minutes, 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And the crowd went fucking bananas. He ends up 2 of 13 from the field for his 4 points, 0 of 7 from 3. But so look, the crowd going absolutely fucking nuts and giving Dirk the love that he deserved after he finally got a couple of shots up and hit him. It was very, very nice. So look, I can't give Spud of the Night really to Dirk, considering his team just got shit pumped anyway. How about we actually give it to Chris O'Middleton? Ah, yes, All-Star Chris Middleton, 1 of 13. What? 6 points, 1 of 7 from 3. His team gets beaten basically by the worst team in the NBA. Chris Middleton, all you need to do is hit, like, I don't know, 4 of 13. That's not too much to ask for an all-star. Instead, he goes 1 of 13 and they lose to the fucking Suns. Brutal. Panting of the night. This is a back-and-forth panting. Joe Harris of the Nets broke Luka Doncic's ankles, and then Luka got him back after the halftime mark with a step-back three right in his face. The double revenge panting. It's the one where you pant him at, like, what did you call it? Not lunchtime, the one before it. Morning tea break, I guess. Recess, there we go. Morning recess, someone got pants and then they got them back at lunchtime. It's pretty good. All right, but who was, you know, and we all were waiting for this one, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody by not playing because I'm hurt. Lonzo Ball. It is always better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. Trae Young has been on a bit of a tear of late, obviously. Had a bit of a rough one today, though, against Miami. Was scoreless in the second half until the last 2 minutes. Ends up with 13 points, 4 of 11 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, 8 assists, 8 turnovers. Turned it over in the last second to just lose the game, basically, as well. Couldn't snaffle the inbounds. So, rough one for Trey. Obviously, Lonzo is still hurt. Hopefully, back next week. We'll see how we go. So, this today is better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. We've already talked about DeAndre Ayton. So, how about we give it to Rodion Kurux? Fuck yes, that's right. The Brooklyn Nets are my lord. The Brooklyn Nets second round pick goes 19 points, 7 of 12 from the field. Pretty bloody good. Hits 5 of 7 from 3, though. That's a season high matching it. He was unreal. He's the third rookie in Nets history to make 5 or more threes in a game twice. Because he did that at Boston, I think, was it back at the start of January. Joining Kerry Kittles and Chris Morris, of all fucking people. So there you go, Rodion Kurux. Absolutely awesome. And there was a stretch there when Brooklyn were playing really fucking well, just after Spencer Dinwiddie had gone out, when Rodion's was out there starting and crushing it. And yeah, it's good to see him pop back up as well. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Rodion Kurux, today you are better than Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back in a second with the NR right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, it's the NR, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, if Andrew Bogut, as reported, ends up in Golden State again, is he a good fit behind Boogie? Yeah, nah, yes! If only because Bogey and Boogie works, like, phonetically. Also, he's a good big, giant-sized backup for Boogie. After we've seen Golden State, you know, struggle with injuries to Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell and Damian Jones. So if those three dudes are dealing with injuries, at least, like, Bogut, he's in game shape after the NBL season with the Kings. You've just got another big defensive big man who can pass a little bit and away you go. So pretty nice backup for Golden State, just in case they need him. And yeah, look, he's not going to go out and set the fucking world on fire. We all get it, but he's just going to be a good break in case of emergency defensive dude who can, you know, assist a little bit, create from the elbows and see how we go. Kind of ironic considering that mongrel Amari Stoudemire ruined his elbow, but anyway. Next up, should the Los Angeles Lakers still sign Carmelo Anthony? Yeah, nah, yes! Contrary to reports where they're like, the Lakers and Carmelo Anthony have both decided to step away from negotiations until the Lakers figure out if they're going to be able to turn this around and make the playoffs. You know who'd help you make those playoffs, is Carmelo Anthony's thinking. Carmelo Anthony. Just fucking do it. It'd be funny as hell just watching LeBron get angry and angry and angry at Carmelo, and Carmelo disappointing one more of his friends after he burnt his Chris Paul bridges. It'd be great to see him go out, hey LeBron, we're like best buddies and shit. And LeBron's like, you're not going to be in Space Jam 2, fuckhead. He's like, oh, come on. I'm famous though. It's like, settle down, dickhead. To be honest, Melo should have gone to the Knicks and retired after the season, but if he doesn't, the Lakers should still sign him just because it'd be funny as shit. Sticking with the Lakers, number three, should the Lakers fire Luke Walton after this season? It was reported the prevailing assumption in league coaching circles remains that Walton will be almost certainly be dismissed after the season, according to Mark Stein of the New York Times. Yeah, nah. No. Fucking I hate this shit so much. What? Suddenly he's a bad fucking coach because LeBron doesn't like him? I mean, yes, they should probably fire him just simply because if LeBron's not going to fucking listen to him and like buy in 100% like he's fucking ball-tickling buddy Ty fucking Lou or some shit, then, I mean, the Lakers are going to be up shit creek for the next 3 months, 3 years. So you probably have to get rid of him at that point. But at the same time, Luke, come on, man. You should have been like out there fucking knuckling down. You shouldn't get the Eric Spoelstra treatment. You should be able to survive this, but I don't think you're going to. So should they? No. Will they? Yes, almost definitely. Come on. God damn it. Next up is Nikola Mirotic. Hello. Look at my very thick beard. Tampering. Yeah. Apparently Pau Gasol reached out to his former Bulls and Spain teammate Nikola Mirotic to ask about the Milwaukee Bucks. And Nico said, listen, man, I really feel this team is special. If you want to be part of something special, you should join this team. To the best of my knowledge, Pau Gasol was still on the Spurs when he asked Mirotic that question. Feels a lot like tampering, but anyway, good on you, Pau. I'm just more pissy that fucking Bogey didn't end up back on the Bucks, and I'm talking about that in a second, but yeah, you really fucked this once more, Pau Gasol. Classic. And finally, is Kyrie Irving an absolute fuckwit? I mean, yeah, nah, yeah. Today he said, I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, be famous, be a celebrity, whatever embodies that. It's a little hard for me. I wanted those things when I was younger, but now I just want to play basketball at a very high level. Now, this is the exact same Kyrie that last summer had an entire movie about him playing basketball that was an elongated Pepsi fucking commercial. So that screams absolute fuckwittery to me and probably to everybody else. I mean, I wanted those things when I was younger. Yeah, well, maybe just shut the fuck up and stop your bitching and moaning now, you dickhead. All right, unpopular opinion of the daytime. Let's do it.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. Look, sure, Bogey going back to the Warriors is nice. It's all familiar and chill. But fuck that. Him going to Milwaukee would have been way fucking cooler. I mean, and what do you need more? Like another slow-footed defensive center? Like you've already got Brook Lopez. You've already got Nico Mirotic. How about you get a fucking defensive giant menace in Bogut? Bucks, how do you fuck this up so badly? He's your number one pick from 2005. It would have been absolutely perfect for you to re-sign Andrew Bogut for the stretch run, go on and win the NBA title. 14 years after you fucking drafted him. Unbelievable stuff it would have been. Instead, you've signed Pau Gasol. Best of fucking luck, you morons. Jesus. You've traded away Dele. You've traded away Kung Fu Thon. You had your chance. You could have signed the Australian. You're definitely going to win a title. We're basically winning titles left, right, and fucking center if you're an Australian NBA player. Patty Mills, Aaron Bangers Baines, Bogey. It doesn't fucking stop. We just keep winning. Dele, he's a fucking, you know, he led the Cavs to the 2016 title. Bucks, you fucked up. All right, it's Tuesday. So come on in to Outback Takehouse. Because you know what we've got? Some flame grilled takes. And you guys know what goes great with a flame grilled take? I don't know. Some more shrimp on the barbie. Because we're going to keep saying this and think, you know, make you think that this is really a big thing in Australia when everybody else is kind of like, I mean, fucking sure, they're pretty tasty. Fuck, I don't know. I'm not going to go out of my way, though. Only at Outback. It's Surf and Turf Tuesdays. And today's flame grilled take is... The LA Lakers never wanted to bring in Carmelo Anthony because LeBron was pressuring them too much, so they had to look like they were going to. And with the season taking a bit of a downturn, both sides are stepping away simply to save face. But the Lakers never wanted Melo in the first place, and they only did this to tickle LeBron's balls. Only at Outback.
Whoa, that's not even that much of a fiery take. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what just happened. All right, we're back in a second with Australian Player Watch and some other fun stuff right after this.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA
Straya. All right, the Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons got named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. On your Big Simo, he averaged 16.7 points, 13.3 rebounds, and 8 assists in that time when the Sixers were playing without Joel Embiid. So great stuff, Big Simo. Unreal. The Sixers didn't play today, obviously, but anyway. Jingling Joe Ingles in the loss versus the Pelicans. He went 2 of 7 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3 for 8 points. He had 11 assists, though, with 7 turnovers, 2 rebounds. And in his last 5 games, he's averaging 8.2 assists. Pretty good. And he's 18 of 41 from 3 since the All-Star break. Nice one, Jingles. Hopefully, Dante Exum is back next week. No Cavs game, so nothing for King Dally. No Detroit game, so no Thonsong. No Bangers Baines, no Celtics game. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills in the win over the Nuggets. He had 8 points, went 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. Had a great steal and layup as well. It was a beautiful little sequence. On you, Patty. And finally, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff got out there for 19 minutes in Dallas's shit pumping by the Nets. Unfortunately, Rowdy went 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, and only came away with 1 steal for the day. It's a tough one as well. He, you know, he sort of had a nice look, and he dropped 1-3 pretty short, and he's like, just not feeling it today. That sucks. All right, what else do we do on Tuesdays? It's a sweaty, hairy guy of the week. And after seeing Pau Gasol play for 5 minutes for the Bucks today in his first game for Milwaukee, it was a nice reminder that Pau Gasol is seriously one of the single, top three sweatiest guys all time. It's like this motherfucker warms up and they need like a towel boy following him fucking everywhere he goes. And because he's got that weird pasty, super Spanish-y fucking white guy vibe, he's basically fucking translucent. I don't know how he and Marc Gasol are the whitest Spanish dudes in the world, but they are. And he's also very fucking hairy. I mean, just that sketchy fucking Euro beard, all that sort of shit. But Pau Gasol, easily our sweaty, hairy guy of the week. Just a happy reminder that that dude sweats a shit ton. Tell you what. All right, and let's get stuck straight in. We're going to keep powering through. We're going to do the Patty Mills Game Day Bull or Game Day Twitter check-in. So let's do that one. No Patty Mills tweet today, but we did have a couple from Thon McCurr. Unbelievable stuff. He tweeted out, last night was special. Huge win at home. Detroit, let's keep it rolling. Hashtag locked in. Hashtag playoff push. And then followed that up with a quick one. Attendance was through the roof too. Some say they were Raptors fans. I disagree because at the end of game, I heard Detroit basketball louder than ever. And then he's got a bunch of fist pump emojis, prayer hands emojis, prayer hands emojis. Great stuff, Thon. All right, let's finish off today with the game previews for tomorrow, shall we? Where's inadvertent Bane? I mean, is he here?
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's the squid going down in lawn?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. I went for a swim before. It was fucking relaxing as hell. Barely put on pants today. It's great. El Clasico. All right, let's do it. So let's have a look at the odds for all the games tomorrow. We've got 6 games. A 6-game Wednesday slate, which would be the Tuesday night slate America style, which obviously also probably means players only, baby. Ooh, fucking smack my head. Fuck my life, etc., etc. But we do have Chicago at Indy. Oh, jeez. How many people do you reckon are going to be watching this? Pacers are 7.5-point favorites at home. I think I'll take Chicago plus 7.5. I think they can sort of stick around with teams. And as good as Indy are, and defensively good as they are, Chicago will probably lose, but I think they'll get within 7.5. So give me Chicago. Orlando travel to Philly to take on Big Simo on the Sixers. The Magic. Philly might be without Jonah Bolden. They might actually have to play Simo at center. They're going right. There's no Amir Johnson. Jesus. So Sixers are 6-point favorites at home, and I think I'll take the Sixers. I think they just kicked the shit out of the Magic. Magic are like a weird up and down rabble where they have like good games against some good teams and then just like lose to the shit ones. The Sixers, I think they might be a little bit locked in, especially with some of these injuries, and just come out and flex and kick the crap out of the Magic. In an absolute rip snorter of a matchup, we've got the Rockets and the Raptors, with the Rockets riding a pretty long win streak at this point, and the Raptors feeling pretty good about themselves as well, even though they lost to Detroit the other day. But the Raptors are 3.5-point favorites at home, and I think I might take the Rockets plus 3.5. For the amount that the Rockets can score to get points for the Rockets, even on the road, even against Toronto, I kind of like it. It is it does kind of feel like the game that the Rockets could just sort of shit the bed and not be able to hit a shot, but getting 3.5 for the Rockets win what can be a very tight game. I'll take that very much. Thank you. The Trailblazers go to the Memphis Grizzlies. They are 5-point favorites on the road. So the Grizzlies are 5-point underdogs at home, which is a weird one because the Grizzlies are always slow shit down and really make you grind it out. Conley was injured and out of the last game. I'll take the Blazers -5.5. I think they're feeling pretty good, and I feel like they'll light up the Grizzlies. I reckon Dame could have a big one, especially if Conley doesn't play. The Thunder travel to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves, and for some reason, the T-Wolves are 2-point favorites at home, which is a bit of a head-scratcher considering that they are one of the most unpredictable, weird fucking teams in the NBA. And look, the home record, I mean, sure, it's, look, I can't actually bring that up. What a son of a bitch. That's some good, what do we got, Minnesota. Come on, man, you got to give me the division conference. Come on, let's give this the fuck up. Internet standings. Come on, Minnesota at home, 20-10. Yeah, thought they were good. So I guess that engenders the -2 for them, but I'll take the Thunder +2, especially if Paul George comes back from his shoulder. And finally, we've got the doubleheader, I assume, tomorrow of Houston, Toronto, and then Boston at Golden State, where the Warriors are 9-point favorites at home. And judging from the two teams and the way they're playing, you have to take Golden State -9, don't you? But I'm going to take Boston +9. I think they keep it just close enough. I think they sort of turn around like all the bad talk and make Golden State work for it a little bit. I think they end up losing by like 5 or 6, but it's not a big blowout. And yeah, they cover. So give me Boston +9. And I think if you look through today's picks, I think we went like 5 of 7. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Good stuff. Nice one. All right. You know what? Holy shit. That's the end of the show. We're back tomorrow because, you know, that's what we do. We do this daily. Woo! So that's it. Check us on socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials during the games. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you use to listen to this here damn show. Just hit the 5-star. Just fucking mash it. Go on. It helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. They have an album out March 29. They are launching that April 12 at the Old Bar. I will see you there. House Hats, they're the best band in Australia now, especially considering you can't listen to Smith Street Band anymore. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you had throughout the show. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so you should too. And that's it. Stick around for a brand new Jingles HR. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose. G'day, you jingler jokers. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia. Just here answering all your workplace-related questions. Yep, we're not sinking threes or owning all the real estate in Paul George's head. I'm the most professional HR professional you'll find. So let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from KI in Boston. Joe. I'm really frustrated. I just want to do my job without people being all up in my face about how I do my job. I mean, is it too much to ask to get paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars and have almost zero oversight beyond some media reporting on where I might work next year? I mean, how rude is that? Also, I've got all these young guys with me as part of my team, but they all act like they're better than that they are, and try to impart themselves onto our projects, but I know that they're not good enough to be doing a lot of the work. So I keep telling them that, and anyone else who will listen, that they're also not ready to handle the work. And then I get accused of being a bad leader. I mean, what is up with that? Anyway, any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. KI, Boston. Oh, that's not a bad question. Thanks, KI from Boston. You pose a couple of pretty good, interesting questions here. But at the same time, It really does feel like you might need better grounding when it comes to management and leadership because, look, of course, if you're going to be paid a lot of money to do something, then there should be a lot of oversight. If not, that's how you end up with like Enron and stuff, eh? Like, you might call yourself the smartest bloke in the room, but without strategic framework and oversight from governing bodies, you can very easily end up with your nuts in your hand and off to jail. So, now, whether that's upper management, ownership, or media reporting on what your job performance is like and perhaps what your job ought to be like and perhaps, you know, an idealized version of your job and how you match up to it, that might happen to just be part of life when you're being paid millions upon millions upon millions to do that job. As for dealing with young folk and criticizing their work, look, KI, leadership is about accepting responsibility for how your organization performs as a whole, not just for you individually. So your role really ought to encompass putting the younger parts of your workplace in the best position to succeed. You need to help them achieve their KPIs while mentoring and showing them the way to go about their work. It's not about slagging them off in public, which, you know, doesn't help matters. So what you might want to do is work closer with the younger members of your workplace to achieve clear-cut goals. And when it comes to oversight, perhaps simply understand that if you want to be paid millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to do something, there are going to be some rules and regulations that you have to abide by. It's not rocket surgery, it's just work. And as we say at Jingles HR, just shut up and do your bloody job. But also, have a bit of fun. Which, you know, work shouldn't be a chore, so stop bloody making it one. Okay, that's it for this week on Jingles HR. We're back next week on NBA Australia answering all your NBA workplace questions. Until then, I'm Joe Ingles. Get a dog up ya. Yeah.